Welcome to the Intuitive Awakening Podcast. I'm your host, Deanna Riddick. I'm an author, teacher, and eternal seeker of truth. I am on a mission to spread metaphysical knowledge to everyone in an effort to help them awaken to universal truth. If you want to learn about spirituality, the occult, and all things related to metaphysics, you are in the right place. Hi, everyone. Thank you for joining me for this week's episode. My name is Dina. You're listening to Intuitive Awakening. This week, I am going to be discussing one of Sylvia Brown's books, and it's called Conversations with the Other Side. I'm not sure how many of you years ago have read a lot of her work, especially during her heyday, but I came across this book, I think 6 months ago, maybe 7 months ago, and I actually really like it. I know many people were skeptical of her work, especially given her time or her later years that she spent on the Montel Williams show. But a lot of her earlier work is pretty profound, and I don't think that she always gets the recognition that she deserves for some of her books that she's written. So today I'm going to be covering part of her book, which is channeled through her spirit guide, whose name is Francine. And again, I think this is one of three books in a series, but the first one is Conversations with the Other Side. The book is, I think, 150, 170 pages. Either way, I can't cover the entire thing in this episode, but I picked out certain sections that I thought you would find appealing and essentially giving you some food for thought. One thing to always remember when it comes to these channel texts is that they come from the perspective of that spirit guide. So what makes this metaphysical community so interesting, and also reading a variety of channel texts interesting, is because we get to see a variety of perspectives based off of the, I don't know if I can use the word perception, but maybe perspective of the guide according to their own experiences. Now, the topics that we are going to cover today range from our life purpose, you know, addressing questions like, why are we here? Do we really create our own reality? Do we really have free will? And what is the purpose of reincarnation? And also some insight into the afterlife. So quite a bit of ground to cover. Let's go ahead and get started. And I'm going to kick this off by addressing the whole purpose of living here on this planet. Many of us ask this question as we move throughout our lives. Why am I here? Why did I come here? Etc. One of the first questions you'll usually pose when you have some sort of crisis in your life, or as you have, you know, variety of changes in your life as well. According to Francine in her book, in Sylvia Brown's book, we are all messengers of God sent to earth to carry a message. But you see, from her perspective, the message is encrypted, and it's our job to decipher that message within ourselves. She says that we've all lived forever and that we will never be diminished or lost. We are here to evolve our soul, and we've chosen to experience life in order to perfect more rapidly. Specifically, and I quote from her book, "You're evolving as a unique part of God, perfecting one aspect of him or her. God experiences through his/her creations." So you'll see this theme running consistently throughout the book about the idea of us constantly in the state of perfecting ourselves. Another question that Francine tries to address, in addition, is this whole idea of why does God need me for learning? And her answer to this is that God, who is all-knowing, needs to experience his knowledge. Now, she does state earlier in the book that she only refers to God as his out of familiarity, but God is all there is. So again, Francine says God needs to experience his knowledge. From this need arose all creation, which is the manifestation of God's emotion and his intellect. Every facet of God can be found in his work. We essentially have become the source that directly experiences emotions for God. and that we are literally a part of God. As such, anything we experience is also experienced directly by God. According to Francine, if we're having some type of difficulty or a problem, then God's going to be experiencing that as well. However, if we discover a joyous facet of life, then God is also there having that experience. Moving on to this whole idea of manifestation and creating our own reality, this is something that she discusses as well. Many of us ask, when we first start learning about the law of attraction, we start asking ourselves, you know, can we really change our path? Can we really make these modifications? How firm is my future? How much chance is actually involved once we incarnate here on the planet? According to Francine, and as we know, we create our life before we incarnate. This is nothing new for us now, right? This is becoming old news. And she says that we alone are responsible for our own destiny. So all of life's joys and sorrows, they were known beforehand. This is your chosen way to reach perfection. You can change your life only when the soul knows that it's time to move to a different experience. Ultimately, you'll experience everything that you planned on, however painful it may be. All of this for essentially this evolution of your soul. Now, in reference to your main path, according to Francine, she says that you can never change it. She says that the main highway is always running on a direct course. So how firm is your future? Is there really chance? Each life is firmly set into place regardless of the many directions it can take. As you travel on a highway, there are other roads that intersect and they diverge. Your life is very much like this highway. You have one basic direction in which to travel. Sometimes there will be several roads to choose from, all of which will take you to your destination. Now, if you're questioning this information, keep in mind that everything you'll experience is planned. That's why there's so much counseling and discussion before you incarnate. You not only scan your own life, but you can also scan like the major influences around you. And so does everyone else. It really becomes a gigantic network that you can never fully absorb with your finite mind. The complexity of the many situations you'll encounter is pretty staggering. Many thousands of people are going to be involved, and there are endless details that have to be implemented. So this is a huge process before we even come here. We have to consider all possibilities, everything, just to make sure that you stay on the main highway. Now, when it comes to free will, because this is a question that people ask all the time in many communities and many religions, whether or not everything is predetermined or do you really have any free will here? What I found interesting in her book, Francine, what she says, I think can be seen as a bit controversial. She says that by coming into life here on Earth, we essentially give up our free will. Once you've planned your life, you'll stay upon that path. She says that your free will operates before an incarnation, and then afterwards, while you're here, you're acting out your own destiny. Now, you're allowed to travel many different roads, but you must achieve your final goal. In other words, there are many ways to throw a dart, but it must hit the target. You only have one destiny, which is to fulfill the mission you came in for. When I read that, it definitely hit home, only in a sense that sometimes when I'm channeling the archangels, they remind me of my quote-unquote mission. And I struggle when I hear that word, because to me it makes it seem like there's only one thing you came here to do, that there's one goal, even though I believe personally that there are many lessons here to learn. But she says specifically that you have one destiny, and that is to fulfill the mission you came in for. This is the overall first premise. So let's say that you have this life theme of justice, because the way Francine kind of approaches talking about your own destiny is in reference to having a very specific theme for this life, right? So let's say that your life theme is justice. You'll probably pick a life, you know, in which this theme can best be experienced. You may pick certain directions along the way to fulfill the justice theme. Maybe you're saving someone from being falsely imprisoned, or I'm not sure, maybe you'll be the one who's falsely imprisoned, but that the experiences that you pick, the directions that you choose, will make sure that you learn this theme that you have chosen for your life. I know in Sylvia Brown's second book of this series, she goes through all of these themes of life, and I plan on discussing that on another episode so we can look at them more fully to see if any of those feel like those have been, those are familiar for you. Now in her book, there's another section on anxiety and trauma, and I'm not gonna go too far in depth in that. That's a lot of ground to cover. But I do think that it's important to include here her perceptions of the earth, because she does discuss this in this section. So per Francine, you decided to come to Earth because you wanted to perfect faster than other entities, which is a plus in your favor. She says that this is the last planet to be quote unquote won for the sake of goodness. Earth has the thickest negativity of all worlds. Throughout the galaxies, Earth is known as quote unquote the marshes. All of you have decided to come here, she says. You had to be evolved enough to make it. This planet is, she says, the toughest schoolhouse that you'll experience. And this is a theme that kind of runs throughout her book about this whole idea or belief that, yes, Earth is one of the most negative places to experience in the entire, well, I guess I would say in the entire universe. But it's a profound school, and that, yes, you have to be at a certain part in your own spiritual evolution for you to even come here on the earth. All right, let's move on to the section on the afterlife. There's a lot written about this, and many of you who are interested in everything related to spirituality, metaphysics, Akashic records, etc., are most likely pretty well versed in all the literature on the afterlife, so a lot of this is going to be familiar to you, but some of it may be a little bit different. I'm always very interested in afterlife studies, so I'm always looking for that stuff. What does it look like on the other side? According to Francine, the other side is beyond normal sensory perception of humankind. It's another dimension at a higher frequency of matter. In actuality, it's reality. There is no negativity on the other side. Negativity exists on Earth, and we use the wisdom that we garner from this to augment the evolution of our souls. The purpose of life is to accumulate knowledge and experience for God, and you never stop doing this even on the other side. Now, the other side is a dimension that exists nearly on top of the dimension that you're residing in now, she says. There are variants, however, since the other side is subject to different laws of physics from our plane. The Earth plane is temporary and contains negative energy, so it's actually what you might call antimatter. The energy and matter on the other side, that's true matter. She says that the other side is superimposed on our plane, but located about 3 feet higher. Despite the close proximity to the Earth plane, the other side is not a complete reproduction of our material world. Everything, however, that's beautiful on our Earth, like the mountains, the trees, the flowers, rivers, that's replicated on the plane on the other side. Earth isn't, however, the only inhabited planet in the universe. We all know this. There are millions of planets like ours where entities of various shapes and sizes exist, and every inhabited planet has its own other side, which I thought was very unique. In essence, Each other side is a beautiful replica of its particular planet and is located in the same dimension. I find that to be very interesting because I've read literature that contradicts that, but also a lot of literature that supports that, that there are just different dimensions where there is still some sort of matter, and then it becomes more gross matter, I guess you could say. Let's talk about traveling on the other side. What does it look like? What does that mean for spirits? She says that whenever spirits travel to other areas of the universe, spirits use what are called code numbers. The universe is divided into many diverse areas, and this system makes it easier to pinpoint locations. To cover such a vast realm, code numbers are assigned to different sections within sections so that a particular locale can be found. Spirits can teleport themselves immediately to a location just by thought alone. I've read that in many other books as well. Just some other additional information that she provided about the other side. There aren't any seasons to the other side. The temperature, according to her, is like the best. It's warm and comfortable. There also isn't a sun. The other side is, however, bathed in a somewhat rose-hued light, which is constant, and that there is continuous light and that there never is night. So are there governmental structures on the other side? She says that there isn't a form of government per se, but there is something similar to a hierarchy. There is a council of elders, and then in descending order, there are archetypes, spirit guides, sixth level entities, fifth level, so on and so forth. More specifically, the elders are special creations who never incarnated. However, they are very wise. They are spokespersons for the Godhead, at least in verbalized form. They are loving and they offer help to everyone. And for our purposes and understanding, they might take on an appearance of like old men with beards. I find this information to be in alignment with a lot of other literature that I've read about this whole idea of this council, at least a council that we meet prior to our incarnation, a council to kind of help us sketch out our next incarnation, wherever that may be. So this is not new. I've seen it in various books. So after the Council of Elders, then there are these things called the archetypes, according to her. Archetypes, they're humanoid in form without any sexual distinction, but she says they are a completely different creation from the majority of entities who reside on the other side. They all look alike, almost like androids in human form. And they all communicate telepathically with each other. But she said they don't communicate with us, meaning spirit guides, which is interesting. Archetypes are very bright entities and seem to glow with an energy that no one else possesses. And according to Francine, supposedly it's these archetypes that, and they're very powerful creations. She says that the archetypes are actually the archangels, which is not what I would have guessed whatsoever, just based off of her description of the archetypes. She did say that the elders say that the purpose of these archetypes is to provide the purest love and protection for those on Earth, which sounds right about right when it comes to the archangels. However, the other descriptions I'm not so sure about. But that's just my own personal opinion. But the fact that they are humanoid in form and they look almost like androids in human form, I find that to be an interesting description of angels. If you've read the Bible at all, you'll see, and I believe it's at least in the Old Testament, all of these strange descriptions of the archangels. And then in the book of Enoch, which is not in your traditional King James version, these angels with like thousands of eyes and fire and very bright beings. So there are various descriptions. And I wonder sometimes Well, I don't wonder why that is. I guess we're each subject to our own experience. All right. So after the archetypes, we have the spirit guides, whom we are all more than well aware of. And then the first and second levels are the first and second level entities. They are, their purpose is to help people who have just passed over from the earth. The third level is for all entities who work with animals, which I found to be different. Fourth level entities, they focus on art, writing, and other crafts. Fifth level entities assist in orientations. Some are counselors, or they focus on science, medicine, and business. And sixth level entities are organizers, teachers, orators, philosophers, and leaders. And then lastly, these seventh level entities, they choose to go back into the Godhead and reside on the other side for a short time. Few entities select this level, since it does require the loss of your individuality and personality, as the energy of their creation, it returns to the Godhead. Entities who choose this level, they're usually very spiritual and they're very evolved. Their love of God is so intense, and they wish to be absorbed back into the Godhead. Something, again, I've heard before. I don't know about this whole idea of there being, you know, these levels and these levels being very strict. I mean, anything is possible. I don't particularly know. For many of you who have been listening to my me rambling for many years now, I can't remember if I've ever said this on the show or not, or in a book, but when I first started learning Reiki, it was a very profound experience for me, the first level. And I remember being in, I guess we can call it the classroom, what have you, with like 10 different women. And then there was the teacher, and she kind of, the way she did the attunement wasn't the traditional way. And so I was kind of taken aback by that. But regardless, I guess it didn't matter, because during the attunement, and you know, we had our eyes closed, we were meditating, I clearly was taken somewhere. And it was black and white, I'll never forget it. It was black and white, and it was like a cemetery. And there were millions of crosses all over the place that I could see for miles. And as I was walking, I heard someone tell me that this is the 10th heaven. And I looked at every cross, and every cross said the word peace. Now, the crosses weren't necessarily upright. Some of them were, some of them were on their sides, but every single one said peace. And then I knew there was somebody walking with me. So this idea of there being, you know, sixth, seventh levels, perhaps, I wonder if things operate differently according to, I don't know, the planet that people are on, because if they each have their own other side, then what does that look like in particular, right? But I've never forgotten that experience. It was like it was yesterday, because in my mind, I could have never imagined something called a 10th heaven. Never has crossed. I've never heard that anywhere in my life. Anyway, just a side story there. All right, so let's talk about reincarnation now. According to Francine, the purpose of reincarnation is to perfect the soul by gaining experience and knowledge in a physical environment. The physical world is a learning place for your soul. Only here can you experience negative events and even trauma. Only here can your soul test its strength by coming face to face with hardship. Only here can you feel alone, afraid, and abandoned. But in truth, God is always with you. Reincarnation, it's a natural law of progression to incarnate. In other words, we become aware that, you know, on the other side, that the time has come to go back to school, so we make a decision, or we have this internal knowing that it's time to reincarnate again, or to incarnate again, essentially. Now, since the other side is a perfect environment without any negativity, a physical plane was created so that we could experience and learn about negative forces. Francine says that sometimes souls, or there are some souls that actually never do incarnate. Therefore, their personal evolution of perfection is quite slow, because they can't really perfect in an environment that's without flaws. It takes them much longer because they can't experience the negative. They can only observe it. Therefore, their souls haven't really been tested by negativity. There are also some souls who reincarnate every century. And there are some souls who choose to constantly revolve into lives by choice, over and over and just back again. So keeping in mind that we incarnate to perfect ourselves, who judges our degree of evolution? It's a fair question to ask. Well, according to Francine, we do. We are the ones who know what we most need to learn, right? When you're on the other side, you really are much more aware of your positive qualities as well as your shortcomings. Given that our knowledge is so vast and we remember all of our incarnations, during our life review or our individual evaluation of ourselves, we have full comprehension of how far our soul has progressed to the level of perfection that we've chosen. Francine says that there isn't anyone really looking over your shoulder. We are responsible for our own learning process, just as we are responsible for attaining our chosen level of perfection. The judgment process, if you will, it doesn't arbitrate between good and evil, as many religions have taught us here on earth, right? But rather, it's more of an evaluation of how far we are progressing. I want to say one thing about this. So, I would say probably weekly or bi-weekly, depending on how busy I am at my job, I do channel the angels and talk to them about things that are on my mind. And, you know, the world's crazy, so just trying to make it through life. And in reference to this whole idea of perfecting ourselves and judging our own personal evolution, the one thing that they said to me a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't ask about this, but they just wanted me to know because it was related to a topic, I guess, that, you know, at the end of all of this, you're going to measure yourself against yourself. It is you who will be doing all the measuring. And when they had told me that before I had like finished reading this last half of the book. And when I came across this again, I was like, oh God, I don't know what's worse. me, you know, judging myself or I don't know, someone else. But it is true that we are judge, jury, and executioner for the most part. We look and see whether or not we've actually been able to grow in the direction that we want to, or that we've actually been able to evolve or quote unquote perfect ourselves during this incarnation, even just a little. Progress is important. It doesn't have to be perfect. My guides and angels always remind me that it's always just a process, right? So a few steps is better than none. Like, don't be so harsh on yourself. It's a hard place. Does everyone evolve to a perfected state? Good question, right? All of us who have chosen to perfect and experience for God, we will reach our chosen level of perfection. Some of us may take longer than others, but we all make it. There's no such thing as a person who can't reach their chosen level. This is something else that I've heard from the archangels, is that we're all going to get there, no matter what. It's hard. It is, but we all will make it. We will reach the level of, I'd like to say, more of evolution within ourselves that we've chosen. So why is it, you know, on this earth that some people seem so, unevolved, I guess we could say? Francine reminds us that we can't judge a person's soul, although, you know, we feel like we want to. Many, many times we feel like, you know, people around us sometimes make really moronic decisions, or, you know, there's evil in the world. There's a lot of negativity. And we do naturally judge people. And, you know, according to Francine, you know, they, and we do too, have access to the Akashic Records. So to really understand why even we do something, accessing the Akashic Records is super helpful. And that even we should consider accessing our own records to kind of evaluate our own progress here. We do make the mistake of judging a person's behavior, and saying that, oh, they're not, you know, they're not just as evolved as us or et cetera. She says that behavior alone is not an accurate criterion for evolution. Many of us choose lives where we become pawns for someone else's quest for perfection. We incarnate to create a certain situation or environment for someone else. On the earth plane, every victim has to have a victimizer. Every follower has to have a leader. And every good has to have a bad. The most important thing to remember is to try not to judge people. She says specifically, if a person commits an atrocity, you can judge the act, but not the soul who committed the act. If you guys are interested in this book, again, it's called Conversations with the Other Side. There's a lot more in there that I didn't cover, but I tried to cover the bigger topics that I thought everybody would find useful. So again, if you're interested in anything related to reincarnation, free will, why are we here? What does it look like in the afterlife? What's my experience going to be? I definitely recommend this book. And reading this book has brought up some memories for me in particular of either meditations that were profound that I've had or dreams where I've died and what the next steps were, because I've had those and they have really changed my, I would say, you know, growing up, I had a major fear of dying because, as many of you know, I grew up very hardcore Christian and I really believed I was going straight to hell, and I had many of those nightmares all the time. And now my dreams are different, where when I leave or when I die, whether it's been in a car accident, drowning or whatever, I can feel like a release. And the other side just looks different and there's not a lot of fear associated with it. So I think if you are afraid of what it looks like or what that feeling or sensation is going to be, or if you want to kind of modify, amend that fear, get rid of that fear, I do recommend you read a lot of afterlife literature. It's super helpful, but also talk to your guide about it. You know, again, many people who can't hear or see their guide think that then they either don't have one or they're not gifted or talented enough, and that's not the truth. You are responsible for kind of initiating that contact. So communicate with them just like I'm communicating with you right now, and discuss those fears or even your interest in the afterlife, and they'll lead you to what you need to find to help you overcome any of your fears. Again, this was Conversations with the Other Side by Sylvia Brown. Check out the book. You can probably find it for a couple dollars. Take care, and everybody, please have a wonderful Christmas and a wonderful New Year. I'll be seeing you soon. Bye-bye.